We're continuing in middle of Torah Ches and Likutei Moran Tanina, the Torah Tikut Echocha. We're in middle of Ois Aleph, paragraph Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 36, the right-hand column, about two-thirds to three-quarters way down the first paragraph on the page. We're starting from the words, V'zehu b'chinas chud shel chesed hanal, which is right under where it says Tehillim Pei Aleph in parentheses. Rabbeinu, as I was talking about, a person who's zeicha to give teichacha dikdusha, a person who's zeicha to reprimand people in a proper way, everything that's accomplished by that, versus the destruction, the havoc that's caused when a person chas v'shalom isn't worthy of giving teichacha and still does. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zehu b'chinas chut shel chesed hanal hanemar b'moichi acharoi." What we've said till now also corresponds with the statement in the Gemara in Talmud, where the Gemara says, "Hamoichiach es chaveru l'shem shemayim moishchen olav chut shel chesed." That if a person reprimands his friend and his intentions are completely sincere, it's purely for the sake of Hashem, he's not looking for any personal glory by putting down the other person. The Gemara says that Hashem draws a string of kindness, a strand of kindness onto such a person. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Haynu bechinas hachut hanaseh mehanimun hanal." This refers to that string that's made from the different threads that we spoke about in last week's shir. She'alehem yisnagen hashir hazeh kishayiyeh chidush olam. On this multi-threaded string is going to be played the special nigun, the special song that's going to be played when Moshiach will come. Bechinas olam chesed yibone kanal. We quoted the pasuk that says the world will be rebuilt with kindness, and we said that the word chesed is bigematria 72, representing a harp of 72 strings, which corresponds to Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei ba'achorayim. Yud, Yud Kei, Yud Kei Vav, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the sheer poshut kofel shilush ribua that we spoke about last week. If you review last week's shir, you'll see we went through all of this. V'zehu moishchen olav chud shel chesed. This is why the Gemara uses this terminology specifically. Note, this is a strange wording in the Gemara. If you want to say that Hashem is bestowing kindness upon a person, he would say not Hashem gives him a string of kindness. Hashem gives him a bucket full of kindness. Why does the Gemara use this terminology, moishchen olav chud shel chesed? Strings represent music, the musical instruments that are played with strings, and this refers to this special song that's going to be played, Losid Lovay, this sheer poshut kofel shilush ribua, which represents the blast of the shofar, horein ka shofar koilech, that we spoke about earlier, that's tied into the voice of one who is moichiach karoi, one who knows how to reprimand people the right way. This is why the word that's used, the verb that's used, is moishchen olav. Hashem draws upon that person. Shem moishchen upeishten eshanimin kidei lenagin aleihem es hashir. Rabbeinu Zal says, when you play a stringed instrument, the manner in drawing sound out of that is by pulling on it and letting it go, pulling on it and letting it go. This is why that term is used specifically, moishchen olav chud shel chesed. This is all a remez to the fact that the one who zeicha to be moichiach koroi, he represents this nigun of kedusha that's going to be played losid lova in the future. Nimtza, what do we see from this? Shal yedei koil hamoichiach haroi hu noisein reach toiv b'hanashamois kanal. That through the voice of one who does know how to reprimand people properly, with all the different talents that we discussed in this paragraph and last week's shir and the drop that we just covered, such a person is zeicha to inject a good smell, a good aroma into the neshamois of the ones whom he's reprimanding. All based on what we spoke about earlier. If you look back, everything was discussed in full. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain how is a person zeicha to get to this type of voice. We explained that there exist two types of voices. There's a mechiach who's mechiach the wrong way, and we explained what that causes, Rahman al-Itzlan. We explained that there's a mechiach that's mechiach the right way, and when he is mechiach the right way, he is near the nosan reichoi, he adds good smell, and we discussed that the proper teichacha is referred to as a shofar, horeim ka shofar koilech. We discussed about it, but we didn't discuss how you get to it. That's going to be this next paragraph. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ach lovoy loze lebechinas koil hanal." In order for a yid to be zeche, to possess, to gain possession, to gain access to this type of koil that we spoke about, where this Jew is zeche, that when he speaks to a person in a manner of teichocha, he's zeche to be meisif areach toiv. Not only doesn't he do any harm, but he adds a good smell. He adds strength to that person's neshama, where the person becomes stronger in being able to do mitzvahs and meisim toivim, hu al yedei tefila. The only way that a person could be zeche to this koil is through tefila. Ki ikar ha-tfilo hi rachmim v'tachnunim. Rabbi Nizal is going to have a whole discussion now about the topic of tfilo, and then he's going to show how through tfilo a person is zeche to have this type of koil. First, we're going to discuss a little bit about tfilo. Rabbi Nizal says that ki ikar ha-tfilo hi rachmim v'tachnunim. The main concept of tfilo is only when a person begs and pleads with Hashem in a very humble way, as is brought kimavur b'per. The Avos, as the Mishnah says clearly in Perkei Avos, what Mishnah are we talking about? Al tas tefiloscho kva elo rachmim v'tachnunim. The Mishnah says clearly in Perkei Avos, don't make your tefillah, don't allow your tefillah to be a habit, to be a habitual type of item where you get accustomed every single morning you wake up and you say the same thing, and it doesn't, you don't put your heart into it. You don't realize that you're begging for things in your tefillah, and when you beg for something, there's supposed to be a certain emotional involvement in it. You're supposed to present your case in a certain kind of way, with a warmth. So the Mishnah warns, Al tas tefiloscho keva elo rachmim v'tachnunim. See to it that your tefillah should always be a pleading, a begging for kindness and mercy. That's one interpretation that's given. That's the pshat on that Mishnah. Rabbi Nizal gives another interpretation. The word keva also means to steal, to kidnap. There's a pasuk v'kova es kovehem nefesh, referring to kidnapping. Rabbi Nizal says that when a person davens, he's asking for Hashem for something. Rabbi Nizal says, make sure when you ask, you don't grab. You don't ask in a manner, give me this, give me that. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there are klipos, that's the manner in which dogs ask for something. They say, hav, 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 hav. The Zohar HaKadosh refers, no, this sounds funny in a way, but imagine the Zohar HaKadosh has secrets of Torah explaining the sound that's made when a dog barks. Why is it when a dog barks, it sounds that way? Because it's actually the Aramaic word for give is hav. Hav means give. Hav hav means give, give. The Zohar HaKadosh says, V'haklovim azei nefesh lo yodu seveya. There's a pasuk in the Torah which says that dogs, by nature, are never filled up. They're always looking around for food. Their nose is always to the ground, looking for more. They're never satiated, never satisfied. The Zohar HaKadosh says, so too, there are people who have a nature that they daven to Hashem. We don't say that they don't daven. They believe and they daven, but they do it in a manner that's not pleasant to Hashem. They're always coming to Hashem, hav hav, give, 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 give me this, give me that, give me this. In other words, and that's the manner of their tefillah. They don't embellish it with rachmim and tachnunim. In other words, there's a talent, there's an art to embellishing your tefillah. Present your case when a lawyer comes into court. He doesn't just say, my client is innocent. They throw him out. Most cases, the guilty are considered innocent, the innocent guilty. It's just a question of embellishment and knowing how to present your case with all of those flavorings. That's what makes the difference. Lahavdil, in heaven also, there is a significance to how you present your case, the embellishment, the rachmim v'tachnunim. So Rabbi Nizal says now, ki ikar ha-tfilo hi rachmim v'tachnunim. The main yisoid of tfilo is that it must be rachmim v'tachnunim. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, v'eschanan el Hashem v'yisei lemor, that his tfilo was in the form of tachnunim. V'ikur harachmim tolui bedas. And Rabbi Nizal says that kindness, pity, this kind of begging is dependent on seichel. Rachmonis is tolui on seichel. Kemoi shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya Hanovi, lo yoreyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kochi. There's going to come a time when no snakes or no killer animals are going to harm any person or kill any person in any way on the mountain of Hashem. Why? ki molo ha'oretz deyos Hashem kamayim oyam mechasim. Because the world is going to be filled with a tremendous measure of seichel. Because there's going to be a tremendous measure of seichel, therefore no snakes or no vicious animals are going to harm any person in any way whatsoever. Rabbi Nazal says, ki lo osid yigdal hadas. In the future, there's going to be a heightening of seichel. Ve'oz, and then lo yihye shum hezik v'achzorius. There will no longer be a concept of somebody or some animal damaging somebody or showing a viciousness or a lack of kindness to somebody. These two obviously go hand in hand, rachamim and das. And Rav Nachman Shigurinzal, I recall, gives two proofs to this. One of the proofs that he gives is that if you know your sequence of spheroids, chesed is most closely associated with das. You have chochma bino das, chesed gevura. So that chesed must draw from das. According to how much das there is, that's how much chesed there is. According to how much chesed there is, that's how much das there is. So that these two are very closely tied to each other. And a person, in other words, it's only when a person has seichel, that's when he knows how to show this rachmonis. A person who doesn't have seichel, he could think that being nice to a person is hitting him or beating him up or reprimanding him in a way that's not going to be good, and really that's not being kind, that's a harshness, or vice versa. He could think that acting towards a person in a mushy way is going to help him, it's going to be constructive, and in truth he's hurting the person because that's not what the person needs at that time. So Rabbi Nazar says that the Ikar Rachmonis is Toli and Das, and Lo'osid Yigdal Das, in the future the Das is going to become heightened, Ve'oz Lo Yeh Shum Hezek V'Achzorius. There won't be any damage or any viciousness, any lack of kindness on the part of people. Ki Yispashe Torachmonis Al Yidei Hadas, because this kindness and compassion is going to be spread throughout the world via the Das. When there will be a spreading of Das, there'll automatically be a spreading of Rachmonis. Ki ikar harachamim toli bedas, because the main rachmonos is dependent on seichel. Just as, if you recall, we had in the previous Torah, Kudamar, and how did we have this in the previous Torah? Ki marachamim yinahagim. We said that it's only those that have kindness that are worthy of being leaders of the Jews. And we said that what's the biggest rachmonos? The biggest rachmonos is to take a Jew out of sin. There's no bigger rachmonos in the world than a Jew who committed a sin. What leads to committing a sin? A lack of seichel, ruach shtus. Ein adam chaytei, elam ki nechnas boi ruach shtus. So the ikar rachmonis is over the lack of seichel. So that these two always go hand in hand. When there's a lack of seichel, that's when there's a deficiency in rachmonis also, which has to be made up by the leaders of the Jews. They have to show and extend an extra, a measure of rachmonis to make up for this lack of das on the part of Bnei Israel, to shine the das into them, to fix them up. So we see that these two always are synonymous, rachamim and das, that rachamim is toli and das. Rabbi Nazal says now, ulufomim, and at times, kishe hasitrach royoinekes min harachmonos, at times, when the sotan draws from the kindness, azai heimamshichem li atzmon harachmonos, then the sotan takes onto himself this kindness, v'azai nismai torachmonos etzleinu, and then what happens is, as a result, there's a decrease, there's a deficiency of rachmonos by the Jews. Now note, this is a rule that we have to be familiar with and aware of, that where does the sotan draw his nourishment from, his sustenance, from holiness, from kedusha? However, if that's the case, why did Hashem set it up in such a way? The answer is there are reasons why there has to be a sotan, so that there should be a free choice, and the sotan must exist, and if he is to exist, he must be able to draw from Hashem. Where else is he supposed to be able to draw sustenance from? And if Hashem is represented by the midas of chesed and gevura and tiferes and das and all of these things, it means the sotan must have access to all of these things and be able to draw from them the correct amount. That's the key word, the correct amount. If he draws exactly what he's supposed to draw, everything is fine, the balance is maintained. if the Satan ever draws more than he's supposed to draw, how? By us committing sins, chas v'sham, whenever the Jews commit sins, and we weaken our own power, and as a result we strengthen the forces of Tumah, then the Satan is enabled to draw more than is necessary, and that's when he grabs like complete control of these midos of Hashem, of these attributes of Hashem, so that the Satan grabs hold of the midah of chesed, he steals it for himself, and that leaves us with a deficiency of chesed, with a deficiency of rachmonis. Rav Elazar says, "Va'afilu ma'at harachmonis shenishar," and even the small amount of kindness that is left for us, the small amount which the Satan leaves over for us, hu bebechinas achzorius, even that kindness has now become defective. It's become damaged. It's no longer classified as rachmonis. Now we refer to it as achzorius, meanness, viciousness. Kalyidei shehem yoin kimen harachmonis, because through the fact that the Satan, the klipos, the forces of Tumah, are able to draw from this Rachmonos, Niskalkel Rachmonos Venasar Zorius. This Rachmonos becomes spoiled, it becomes defective, and it now becomes, it gets a new name. Now it's called Achzorius Rachmonoson, because the fact that the Satan drew more than he was supposed to, then even the residue that's left, because of the fact that it's the residue of his taking, that also has become spoiled. Ki Rachme Rishoyim Achzori, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei that the kindness of a Rosha is harshness, meaning, the way Rabbeinu Zal is using this over here, that the Rachmonos, which the Russia has tampered with, he's taken more than he was supposed to, that Rachmonis, even the remaining Rachmonis, becomes Achzorius. It's no longer any good. V'alkeinim, therefore, gamma to Rachmonis hanishar etzleinu hu bebechinas Achzorius. Therefore, what happens is, even the small amount of Rachmonis that is left with us, it's in the category of Achzorius. Ki niskalkel al yedei shehem yoin kemen Rachmonis chas v'shon kanal, because it has become spoiled through the fact that they, meaning the klipos, are now drawing from this Rachmonis more than is necessary, more than they're supposed to. This is what's hinted to in a pasuk in Eicha, where the pasuk shows us a concept of kindness by the Satan. The pasuk says, "Gam tanim choltzu shad." Even the snakes, when their offspring, when their children come to draw, come to nurse from them, the snake removes the cover. The snake has a natural cover that covers the part of the body that its young nurse from. The snake removes the cover, the shad, to release the shad in order for its young to be able to nurse from it. So Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ze bechinas rachmonis desitrachro." Here the Torah is representing a concept of kindness by the snake, a kindness and compassion by the snakes, which represent the Satan. Bechinas kishoid mishadai, as the pasuk says, that there's going to come a day when there's going to be a burglary, like a robbery, for the sake of Hashem. In other words, there's going to be a taking away. And note the word again is used, kishoid mishakai. In each case, we're using the word gam tanim choltzu shad. Here we're using the word kishoid mishakai. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, referring shoide, it means like a terrorist, a burglar, one who comes in and steals, takes something away that doesn't belong to him. That there's going to come this day when there's going to be take a biza, plunder for the sake of Hashem, on behalf of Hashem. So we see that this word shoid, which refers to the Rachmonis of the Satan, is based on a plunder, whereby they plundered this Rachmonis and took away from us what belonged to us. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, ki shakai hu bechinas rachmonis dikdusha, because we know that this name of Hashem, specifically shakai, is a name of Hashem that represents kindness, a kindness of Kiddusha. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to give his children a bracha, when they were going down to Mitzrayim, he said to them, V'ker Shakai Yitein Lachem Rachmin. The Hashem that's called Shakai should bestow upon you kindness. So we see that Hashem's name Shakai is a mokar, a source for kindness. Shehu bechinas tfila. This also represents a concept of tfila. Shehu shidud hama'arochos. Tefillah is also referred to by these letters Shin Dalid, because Tefillah is called altering of the mazalos. That, in other words, if there was any predestination fixed in the stars, the purpose of one's Tefillah is to disperse Shidud Hamarochis, to change, to alter the pattern of the stars. Note the word Shidud is used there also. So we're showing how these letters Shin Dalid are used to refer to the Rachmanos of the Sitrachra, they're used to refer to a plunder, they're used to refer to the Rachmanos of Kedusha, and they're also used to refer to Tefillah. That Tefillah is also called by this term Shin Dalid. And through a conversion, whereby from Shakai becomes Shin Dalid, the Yud gets lopped off. When that happens, Rachmanos Litzlan, Bechinas Rachmanos the Sitrachra, then it's categorized, Shakai is the Rachmanos of Kedusha, Shin Dalid represents the Rachmanos of the Sitrachra. As we quoted the pasuk, Gam Tanim Chol Tzushad, that the pity of the snake is associated with the word Shin Dalid. Bechinas gam tanim cholzu shad aideze bas amilachzor. The pasuk continues over there in Eicha. The pasuk says that even a snake has pity on its young, that when its young comes to nurse, it releases, it uncovers that part of the body and allows its young to nurse. Bas ami lachzor. But Hashem says, but the people of my nation, the Jews, were so incompassionate that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the parents didn't even want to nurse their own children. On the contrary, the parents were eating their own children. The Gemara tells stories that at that time there was such a horrible situation among the Yidden that parents were actually eating their own children to save themselves from starving. The curse that's brought in the Torah, V'achaltem b'sar b'neichem, actually came true. So the pasuk says that when there is a rachmanis of the Satan, when there is this concept of gam tanim cholzu shad, the result is that bas ami lachzor. That causes the Jews to be categorized as achzor, mean, vicious, no rachmanis. Through the fact, whenever there's an occurrence of the fact that the Satan is drawing from this rachmanis, al yidei ze gam ze hamaat rachmanis hanisher etzleinu nifkam venasach zoris kanal. What happens is even the small amount, the residue, the remaining rachmanis that's left by us, even that becomes spoiled and it's no longer called rachmanis. We see the Torah writes about the Jews bas ami lachzor. Well, we know that the Gemara tells us clearly that what are the three ways of recognizing a Jew? Baishonim, Rachmonim, Goyim Leichasodim. The Gemara tells us that the nature, the norm of a Jew is to be Rachmonim. And yet we see that there's a potential that when the Satan has Rachmonis, when there's this Gam Tanim Cholzu Shad, automatically it results in Bas Ami Lachzor. We said always that these two must be balanced. Kishezeh Kom Zenoifel, Ula'oim Miloim Yematz, the Gemara brings in Psochim, that Esav and Yaakov are always on two ends of a seesaw. When one is up, the other one must be down. When one is down, the other one must be up. So that when the Satan is up, is above the line in kindness, then automatically the side of Kiddusha, the side of holiness, goes below its line in kindness, Rachmanu Litzlan. Rabbi Nizal says, "Vaydeze sheniskal kelch rachmanus v'naser achzorius nifgam hadas." And through the fact that this rachmanus, this kindness, becomes spoiled and becomes converted to achzorius, nifgam hadas, the seichel, becomes spoiled, because we explained earlier, ki ikar harachmim toli b'das, that the rachmanus and das are very closely associated. Bebechinas, as the Gemara tells us, kol hakoyes chochmosoi mistalekes mimenu, that when a person gets angry, his seichel leaves him. Why? What is kas? Kas is the opposite of chesed. Chesed means I'm in a kind frame of mind, I'm in a giving frame of mind. When a person gets angry, he becomes nistamsim. He becomes constricted. He doesn't want to give anything. On the contrary, he wants to take, he wants to break. Rachmanu Litzlan, chas v'shalom. So we see that these two, that when there's a spoilage in the chesed, in the rachmanus, the opposite of rachmanus is kas. Bereges rachim tizkor, the pasuk says, when you get angry, remember to be kind. Bereges rachim tizkor. So kas is the opposite of rachmanus. Therefore, kas results in a histalkus hadas. The Gemara says when you get angry, your das leaves you. Why? Because when the rachmonis gets spoiled, automatically it's to be assumed that the das got spoiled too, because these two are one and the same. Rabbein Azal says, va'asai niktan hadas, then the person's seichel becomes very small, v'nase bebechinas meichen dekatnus, and the person enters into a state that's called meichen dekatnus, where he feels very constricted, his brain feels very constricted, he doesn't have an expanded mind, a happy frame of mind, aharchovas hadas, he has the opposite, which is called in Sifrei Kabbalah, meichen dekatnus, this constricted, angry, tight frame of mind, Rachmona Litzlan.
We don't normally refer to the Rachman of a Satan as being, you know, a bad type of Rachman. In other words, we say that by a Russian, when he gives Rachmanas, it's really wrong thing, it's really, you know, it's not Rachmanas. Are we saying that? Or are we saying this Rachman by this snake, whatever? Are we saying it's a true Rachmanas? It's just that he's nourishing from it? Or are we saying that it's not really Rachmanas that he's disappointing?
In other words, we're saying that it's to be assumed by nature that the Jews are Rachmonim and the opposite of the Jews are Achzorim. In other words, that the Jews are kind, the Jews are recognized by being Rachmonim, which means automatically that relatively at least, the 70 nations of the Goyim are the opposite of Rachmonim, they're Achzorim. So that if we find a place in the Torah where it refers to the snake, who's the symbol of the antithesis of the Jewish people, the Satan, the vicious, the evil, who's represented in the snake. If we find the term kindness used by him, it means obviously he has taken it away from us. We're the ones who are supposed to possess this Rachmonas. If we find the term Rachmim used by him, the only way it could have gotten to him is if he took it away from us. If he took it away from us, it means there's a deficiency by us in Rachmonas. And it means even the drop that is left by us is spoiled also, simply because when a snake comes to drink from water, he leaves a venom in the water. That's the whole halacha, that a Jew is not permitted to leave a glass of water uncovered overnight, in other words, in places where there's a question of snakes and those things, because we're afraid that maybe a snake will come to drink from the water, and in drinking, either intentionally or inevitably, the snake will release some of its venom into the water and it could kill a person. Here it's a similar concept. That once we can assume that the snake drew from this vessel of chesed that belongs to the Jews, automatically he's injected part of his venom into the chesed, that even the remaining chesed is spoiled also.
The concept that after the satan was yearning from our
Rachmanis,
the part that's left for us is not Rachmanis, it's like having stuff from the bottom of the barrel, in a sense, and that the world could be, it's like murky, you know.
Right.
Its category
of chesed, exactly. In other words, it's become spoiled, and as Rabbeinu Zal saying, sort of, that in other words, it's not only that he's done a damage in the actual quantity that he removed, but even the part that he didn't remove now is spoiled. It can't really be used anymore.
What keli is the Rachmanis ordinarily stored in, from which the Jews are?
The heart. In other words, the heart, Rabbeinu Zal brings, I believe, in Eternal Kedemaram, that the Ikar Rachmanis is belave. In other words, within a person's heart to show kindness, this concept of kindness. But you're saying by Hashem, let's say?
No, I'm trying to understand, where is this coming from, the source? He just bit the heart?
No, the answer is Kaviyochel. When we talk about Chesed or Gevurah, Tiferes, these are attributes of Hashem. Hashem is an intangible item. It's Ein Loid Musaguf. If we were to picture Kaviyochel Hashem as some type of being, that being consists of certain attributes. One of the attributes is Chesed. If we could picture that Chesed being contained in some kind of vessel, it means that this snake would come and take something from that vessel and leave whatever he left behind spoiled. But this is all obviously in intangible terms. Because we're not talking about Kashmir here, we're talking about spiritual terms. In other words, attacking the chesed, that there's this measure of chesed that exists by Hashem that normally belongs, it's reserved for Klal Yisrael.
In a very, in what way does that remove or...
any time a Jew does an Aveira, he weakens his control of being able to draw. He creates a tzel, a shadow. He creates a partition in between Hashem and himself, so that the normal chesed which Hashem would have flowing to the Jew, he has blocked up his pipe, that Hashem no longer can shoot any chesed his way. So now the chesed remains by Hashem. Once it remains by Hashem, another character can come along and take away that measure of chesed that normally should have gone to the Jews.
In the beginning, how does this relate to Das?
Because we said that Rachmonus is totally in Das. That when we talk about a human being being kind and compassionate, it's not considered kind and compassionate to go over to a one-year-old kid and say, oh, you look so cute that there's this, and it's such a hot day, let me put you in a swimming pool. You know, this swimming pool looks so refreshing and everything, and you forget that the kid doesn't know how to swim at all. That's not called Rachmonus. That's one example. Rabbeinu Zal himself gives a different example. To attempt to give a baby of 1 year old steak or meat, that it's not, in other words, because you like the child so much, because this is the most expensive, most tasty, delicate, you know, delectable type of food, to try to give that to a kid, chas v'shalom, where you would think it's Rachmonis, and it's the exact opposite of it. So therefore we see that these two items are definitely dependent on each other. And we said that by Hashem also, you'll note that in the sequence of Sphirois, when we discuss the Midos of Hashem, you note that these two touch each other like. In other words, that these two follow in sequence. Chesed leads you to Das, or Das leads you to Chesed. You understand? Rabbeinu Zal says now, Va'azai heim yoimkim chas v'shalom yipigam hadas. And then what happens is, when the Rachmonus becomes Nifgam, and the Sultan is able to draw from there, and that affects the Das, then the Das also becomes Nifgam, and now the Sultan is able to draw from Das also. The Bechinas, as we find in a Pasuk in the Chumash, where the Pasuk tells us, V'hanochosh hoyo orum, the snake was very sly, very sharp. Where did sharpness, where did Das, where did Seichel come to the snake? The snake is the opposite of Kedusha. Das is a midah of Kedusha. The answer is, when the Rachmonus becomes Nifgam, automatically the Das becomes Nifgam also. So that the snake is able to draw from this Rachmonus, Chas v'Shalom, is able to draw from this Das. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu Das, the Sitrachra, Sheyoinek, Al Yidei Nefilas Hadas, Tikdusha. This refers to the Das of the Satan. We find the word Das used about the snake who represents the Satan. And where does that Das come from? That comes about through a downfall of the Das of Kedusha, of the Das of Holiness. Shenifgam al yidei achzorius v'kas kanal, which this Das becomes spoiled through an achzorius and kas. Whenever there's any kas, a person falls into a kas, chas v'shalom, that causes a pigam in the Rachmanus, that gives this nochosh access into the seichel. Because we said, kol hakoyes chochmosay mistalekes mimeno. Your chochma leaves you. Where does it go? It goes to the snake, chas v'shalom. The satan gets access to drawing from that seichel, which he normally is not supposed to draw from, chas v'shalom. Umizeh bo chas v'shalom taivas niuf. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that this is where the illicit, illegal desire for women comes from, the taivas niuf, as it's known. Ki hamoyach hi mechitzo prusa bifnei taivazu. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that the brain serves as a solid barrier, a partition, protecting a person from this taiva, from this illicit desire. Ki ein odom over aveira ela im kein nichnas by ruach shtus. The Gemara says in Saita that it's written specifically by this type of sin of adultery. The wording in the pasuk is ki siste ishtoi. His wife will be siste. The Gemara says siste is miloshin shoite. She'll perform what's called a foolish act. This specific sin of adultery is referred to as a foolishness. And the Gemara says from here we learn out loylam ein adam choite ilam kein nichnas by ruach shtus. That especially when it comes to this sin, the only way the sultan can get a person to be victimized by this sin is that a ruach shtus enters the head, which implies that avol kishahamoyach vahadas sholem, when a person's brain is completely intact, it has no holes in it through which this ruach shtus could enter, hu megin bifnei hatayva hazois, the brain by nature protects a person from this taiva. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain. Kiyesh gimel meichin. There are what are known as three parts of the brain. We mentioned this many times. Lahavdol, in biology, we discuss three parts of the brain called the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the medulla. Lahavdol in Kiddush also, we have the terms chochma, bina, and das, which spiritually are referred to as the three parts of the brain. V'kol echod v'echod hu bechinas mechitza prusa b'fnei zois hatayva. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that each and every one of these three parts of the brain is an independent partition blocking this taiva from being able to get through into get into the person's head in an illegal kind of way. Umeelu hagimel meichin nimshach gimel minei rachmonis, and from these three parts of the brain come forth three types of kindness, because we said before that rachmim is toli b'das. So from each unit of das within the body comes forth a unit, a measure of rachmonis. Kiyesh gimel minei rachmonis. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that there are three types, three levels of kindness. Bebechinas mashom razal al posuk, as the Gemara darshins on the posuk in Bereishis, where the posuk says that Avimelech made a bond with Avram Avinu, and he said to him, im tishkor li ulenini ulenechti, that we're making an agreement that you're not going to harm me in any way, and not my children, and not my grandchildren. And the Gemara darshins ad kan rachmei ho'ov al haben, that this is the nature of kindness, that the kindness of a person goes through, extends for three generations, on himself, on his son, and on his grandson. This is assumed to be the normal scope of pity, that a person by nature has pity on himself, on his children, on his grandchildren. When it comes to great-grandchildren, it's a little bit removed, so that's not considered totally within range of the scope of what's called Rachmonis. Rachmonis spans three generations normally, which means there's a concept of three levels of Rachmonis: parent, child, grandchild. Shehem bechinas gimel mine rachmonis. These are referred to as three levels of kindness. Vehem nimshochim mi gimel meichim. And they obviously come from the three corresponding parts of the brain. Ki moyach haben mi moyach ha'ov. Because the Tikkun Ezerah tells us that the brain of the son comes from the brain of the father. Meaning, this we're going to go into for a second, just for those that could understand this. I believe, I didn't check this, but I'm just about positive that this is what the Zohar Kodesh is talking about over there. The Zohar Kodesh says, shows the association between Chochma and Tiferes. Chochma is called Abba, the father. Tiferes is called the son. We spoke about this many times. Zerampin, the six spheres of Zerampin are referred to as Bonim. The first story in Sipurim Isis, that there was a king who had six sons and one daughter, referring to the six spheres of Zerampin, of which Tiferes many times is referred to as the Kolel of all six spheres. So Tiferes is called the Ben, Chochma is called the Av. The Tikkun Ezerah tells us that you should know that these two are very, very closely connected. Because if you look at we know which name of Hashem corresponds to Tiferes. We say in Yud Ke Vov Ke, there are four miluyim called Ov, Sog, Mo, Bon. Each one of these three corresponds to a different letter in Yud Ke Vov Ke. Ov corresponds to the Yud of Yud Ke Vov Ke, Sog corresponds to the Ke, Mo corresponds to the Vov, and Bon corresponds to the last K. So that the Shem Mo corresponds to the Vav, which is called Tiferes many times. So that Tiferes is called Mo, Chochma is the name of Abba, Tiferes is called the son, it's called Mo, Chochma is called the father. The Tikkun Ezerah says, you'll note that the word Chochma is Koyach Mo. The power, Chochma serves as the Koyach of Mo. The power of Mo, which is the Tiferes, the Ben. That the Moyach HaBen draws from the Moyach HaOv. Zerampin draws its Moichin from the Meichen of Abba. That's the key, that's the highest level of Kedusha, where Zeranpin draws its Meichen from the Meichen of Abba. There are times in the Kisvei Arizal where it discusses Zeranpin drawing from the Meichen of Ima, sometimes from the Meichen of Abba. The higher level, the best tikkun is when the Meichen of Zeranpin come from the Meichen of Abba, this concept of Chochma Koyachma. But in any case, Rav Enizal is using this simply to show an association that the son is related to the father in terms of kindness. We see that when Avimelech made this bond, he said, show kindness to me, my son, and my grandson. And we find that the Tikkun Ezer shows a hookup between the son and the father also when it comes to Das, when it comes to drawing Meichen. So Rav Enizal says now, okay, this is also the secret as to why we daven three tefillos in a day, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. Ki kol tefilo utefilo hu bechinas moyach meyuchod me'elu hagimel moichen. Note, Rabbi Nezal sets forth a concept, the first line in the Likudei Moran is, Da ki al yidei ha-Torah niskablin kol ha-tfilos v'chol ha-bakoshe shanam rakshim espalim. That you should know that the key to having your tfilos received, accepted by Hashem and answered, the key is Torah. Tfila without Torah is nothing. There's a pasuk that says, Meisir oznoi mishmaya Torah, gam tfilosai teyeva. That a Jew who chas v'shalom is reluctant to study Torah, he turns his ear away from listening to a shir of Torah, his tfila is despised by Hashem. So we see that these two must go hand in hand. So that any attribute that we're going to find about Torah, about chochma, about sechel, we must find the corresponding attribute in tfila. If there are three tefillos, three basic tefillos during the day, they must correspond to the three basic meichen, the three basic meichen. Interesting, cute question. Where does Hesperides shine in? Hesperides. What is Hesperides? Keser. That if the three tefillos of the day correspond to Chochma, Bina, and Das, what is Hesperides? Keser. Who am I to say this? Chas v'shalom, I'm nobody. Rebbe Zal quoted two or three chidushim from the Shiloh HaKadosh, the Shiloh HaKadosh who quotes the pasuk Ani v'hoi hoishi ono. That the pasuk says that whenever a person secludes himself with Hashem, where it's I and Hashem, Ani v'hoi means me and you, one-on-one, that refers to the tefillah of Hesperides. That's a guarantee of Yeshua. The Shulchan Kodesh says that the words Ani Vohoi are bigematria, the word Mazla. Mazla is one of the nicknames given to Keser. The Shulchan Kodesh says that this tefillah of Hesperides draws from Keser, the highest level of Kedusha. Rebbe Zal quoted from Kublacher, Repinchas Kublacher, that he said on the Pasuk Vayehav HaMelech Es Esther Mikol Hanoshim, Hashem loved, the king, Achashverosh, liked Esther Hamalka better than he liked all the other women that he had seen. Women represent tefillah. We mention many times, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitis Halol, that women represent tefillah. That the king loved Esther more than all the other women. Esther means hidden. Anechi haster asaster. This refers to that tefillah which is done in seclusion, in privacy. Hesperides, bodod, alone, private. Vayeav amelchas Esther mikol anoshim. Hashem, the king, loves this tefillah in seclusion better than all the other tefillahs. Why? Because the other tefillahs correspond to the Gimel Meichen. This tefillah is called Esther. What is Esther a nickname for? The keser, which is hidden, b'mufla mimcho al tidroish u'b'mechusa mimcho al tachkar. This tefillah, which is called behester, hidden, corresponds to that sphera, which is called hester, hidden. This sphera of keser. That's if we could say such a thing. I don't know if such an item is authorized, but it would seem the pashtus that there's no. In other words, there's no question at all. The Rebbe Zal quoted these for him, saying that his pleidus corresponds to the keser. No question about that. So that if Rabbeinu Zal saying here that Shachris Mincha Maariv correspond to the Gimel Meichen, and if here we're looking at the Gimel Meichen as Chochma Bina Das, it's unquestionable that now everything fits in beautifully. That this is how during a day you have your Shachris Mincha Maariv, which draws from the Gimel Meichen. The if you're Zecher to have a Spleidus, you draw from the Keser also. If possible, let's just finish this little chunk and then we'll take questions. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, "Vezel bechinas gimel tefilas bayoyim ki kol tefilot tefilu bechinas moyach meyuchad meilu agim amoyachim shein bechinas gimel mina rachmanos hatluyim b'moyach." Each one of the three tefilas correspond to each one of the three moyachim, which correspond to the three types of rachmanos, which are dependent on the brain. Ki ikar hatefilo hu rachmin v'tachnunim kanal. Because if you recall, way back a couple of minutes ago, we said that the ikar tefila has to be rachmin v'tachnunim. So there's no question at all that tefila and rachmin are tied together. So if there's gimel mine rachmin, there would be a corresponding gimel mine tefila. Va'al kainim, therefore, kishahadas nifgam chas v'shalom kanal, when the das chas v'shalom becomes defective, and there's the bechina v'hanocha shoyorim, the snake draws from the das, mizeh bo chas v'shalom taivas niyuf kanal. That's what hits a person chas v'shalom with this taivas niyuf. Va'azayim then, kishenifgam horachmonus v'hadas, when this rachmonus and das become defective, azay I efshar lehispalel bechinas rachmin, then it becomes no longer possible to be able to daven anymore with rachmim and tachnunim. We just told you that the normal tefillah must be rachmim v'tachnunim. But what happens when the das becomes pogum, and the rachmonus is totally in the das, which means the rachmim also became pogum? Then now there's no way in the world for me to be able to daven my normal tefillah with rachmim and tachnunim, because the rachmim and tachnunim has been made defective. V'oz ha-tfilah be-bechinas din. Then the tfilah must be a tfilah of harshness. Not a tfilah of rachmim, the normal tfilah, but a tfilah be-bechinas din. Din, and when a Jew davens a tefillah, that's a tefillah of harshness. Oz hasitrachro boilas es hatefillah chas v'shalom. The nature of the satan is that whenever this such a tefillah comes forth, the satan right away swallows that tefillah, because the satan by nature is din, harshness. When he sees a tefillah that has the word din written all over it, he gobbles that up. That's his normal breakfast. That's his normal meal. Or Rabbein Azal says, "Oz hasit ki ikar yemikas hasit rachroch umebechinas dinim," because we know all the sforim tell us that the norm of the satan is that they draw from the left side, from the side of harshness, shehem meichen dekatnis, which corresponds to this concept of this constricted frame of mind, bechinas elikim kiyadua, which corresponds to the name of Hashem that's called elikim, which represents harshness, meichen dekatnis. The alkane, and therefore heim ne'echozim chas v'shalom b'tfilazu, they, the satan, the klipos, they latch on, they grab on to this tefillah, shehi b'chinas din, which this tefillah is a concept of din, u'boilen oiso chas v'shalom, and they swallow up this tefillah chas v'shalom. Rabbein Azal is going to explain now what's achieved once they swallow it up. What happens? And what do we mean by a tefillah bebechinas din? What does that mean? And how and what and when? We're going to have very, very elaborate explanations of everything that we just opened up.
Talk about mukh and katnas. Is there a time that was discussed in the past that you mentioned that tzaddikim at times are in this state of mukh and katnas?
Definitely. And this applies to every Jew.
Is there anything positive accomplished by that?
Yes, it's the Yerida Tachlis Aliyah. In other words, for example, a Jew going to sleep at night, where he closes his eyes, the eyes representing the Sechel, the shutting down of the eyes is going into a Bechina of Meichen Dekatnus. What happens? The Emunah is Nischadesh. Chadoshim Rabakorim Rabba Manasecha. That gives you a chance to regen the energy in your Emunah, in your Malchus. It's a shutting down of the Mayach to strengthen, to
bring up
the Emunah, the Malchus, the Shechina.
So, which of the
Mayachim
would the Chazoris correspond to?
I don't know. In other words, I can't answer that offhand. Although, I can answer it offhand a little bit, based on what, and not even a little bit, I can answer it very confidently. In Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal says that Chatzos is one of the examples of this tefillah bebechinas din. So it doesn't correspond to one of those gimel moichin, and it doesn't correspond to the keser. Chatzos is this tefillah bebechinas din. Because normally we say, how do you prepare yourself for tefillah? Ivdos Hashem b'simcha. The Arizal warns, the Shulchan Aruch warns, that before you start davening any tefillah, you have to be in a happy frame of mind. Chatzos is the one tefillah where we get down on the floor and we get into a sad frame of mind and we discuss the Churban Beis Hamikdash. That's the tefillah bebechinas din. From what I recall, Rav Nosson Alinkotei Halachos mentions that as an example of this Chel Bola Vayikenu, because the Gemara says Kol Hamesabel Al Yerushalayim Zoyche V'roye B'Simchosa, that it's only the one who mourns over Yerushalayim, meaning he enters into this bechina of din on behalf of Yerushalayim. When the din is nimtak, he'll partake in the Hamtoka Sadina. So there's definitely, that definitely is going to tie into what we're going to be learning about here. This tefillah b'bchinas din, that the tzaddikim shoot out, and when the sultan swallows this, it causes a whole series, a whole chain of events to take place. Excuse me? I in terms of spheroids, I don't know what it corresponds to, but in terms of this Torah and Likutei Moran, it definitely, that's a sample of this tefillah b'bchinas din that we're going to be talking about. Exactly. In other words, although it's in a bechina, that's when the chesed is first born. In other words, meaning that that's the time when, right when it gets most darkest, that's the second when it starts, when the light starts shining. That's why the Rav Nosson says Dovra Melech. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be mechaven chatzayis seimas. That whole discussion is because that's such a time of din. Rav Nosson says chatzayis lo okom lohaydes lecho al mishpatei tzidkecho. Mishpatei tzidkecho is din, the whole power of judgment, din. That chatzayis, that by getting up, that's how you sweeten the din, you understand? But chatzayis by nature is a time of din, where in Avelus, we put on a sackcloth and ashes, Rahman al-Islam, that's all, that you can't deny that that's din, and Avelus in a state of din.
Tefillah is din, but it's bringing out this chesed.
Of course, you're going to see that this causes a nuclear explosion of chesed. In other words, this is going south to be able to come around the other side and go way north.
Something
you No. Right, that's a different thing. No. It's two separate things. That Aniva Hai means Bodad. I and Hashem Hashia. That's how a person is zeichet to Yeshua. Why? Because that's what allows him to climb up way, way above any interference, going up to the Keser, going to the top.
Which is
his spite of us, 100%.
When we're very angry, then around us is labeled that din. And if a person would attempt to have, let's say, his baridos or make a tefillah or to do tshuva at that point, then would the satan then have authority to swallow up that tefillah as well?
Yes.
So
most definitely.
Best, better of doing it that.
When we get to the next part here, it's going to be explained that if a person at that moment, he does daven and he davens with a sincerity, when that tefillah gets swallowed up by the sultan, it doesn't sit there. It's a bomb. This is a loaded thing. This has gevuras. And this thing explodes, kaviyochol, in the stomach of the sultan, and it frees many, many sparks of Kedusha, Nitzitzis of Kedusha, that was stored up in the Sultan's belly, Chel Bola Vayikienu. There's a passage that says that the Sultan has swallowed up an army, and he's going to be made to vomit it up. He's going to be made to throw it up. This is going to be, we're going to have a whole spectacular discussion about that. This is an item that's mentioned a lot in Sifrei Kabbalah. There's a lot written about this. This is the one chapter in the Likutei Moran where Abenazal really, really goes big on explaining this to us, explaining all the technology behind this. And Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos is the one who takes us on a tour once again throughout the Jewish religion, throughout the Torah, Chatzos, giving us all kinds of displays of samples of how this actually applies in our day-to-day avodah. If you recall, this past year's Rosh Hashanah shir was from the Sefer Yerach HaYisonim, where we quoted Rav Nachman Shigerinzal showing how the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, the tefillah that we say on Rosh Hashanah, is a bechina of this tefillah bebechinas din, and how it causes the chel bala veikiano, etc., a whole series of things related to this.
It's permissible to deliberately get angry with the kavala to cause indigestion for the sun.
Very careful. When we learn about this, you're going to see that this is something that applies to big tzaddikim. So that we, there's no question at all that we have to be very, very, very careful about kaas. But if a person, chas v'shalom, finds himself in that predicament, it's not an excuse not to daven. Because for all he knows, Hashem could have put him in this matzav of a moich mekatnos, so that at that time he gives off this tefillah, which is like an oppressed tefillah, the tefillah of a person who's so oppressed that he's forced to talk a little out of tsar in this way, and it's a tefillah bebechinas din, which could generate this whole reaction. So that look how much there is that we don't know. We have no idea like what's going on behind the scenes. And therefore we have to follow, we have to look for the advice of tzaddikim, or whatever we're told to do, we have to do it b'pshitas, because we have no idea, there's so much for us to learn in what goes on behind the scenes, when this happens, when that happens, you know, covering both sides of the fence. Here there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says, Al tas filos chara keva la rachmei v'tachnunim. You would think that that's a proof that there's nothing other than a tefillah of rachmei and tachnunim. And this whole chapter on the Kudamran is going to be dedicated to explaining that's under normal circumstances. What about when a real catastrophe hits and even the rachmim is messed up? What do you do then? What do you do when the Jews came and sat down at a meal? They had pity on King Ahasuerus. They didn't want to insult him or hurt his feelings. He invited them to a meal, and if they wouldn't show, it would be insulting to the king. So their rachmonis to him was that they came and they partook in his meal. And then a gzera was sealed against them. You're all dead, very dead. How do you pray then? The praying became spoiled. Praying is supposed to be Rachmanis. The Satan's claim is, you people destroyed the Rachmanis. You made a mockery of the Rachmanis. You can't daven now. That's why Esther Amalka went and got swallowed up by the Satan. She went into the house of Ahasuerus, into his bedroom. Although he couldn't touch her. The Zohar Kodesh and Tosfos says that there's no way that any time he wanted to have relations with her, she was replaced by a shed. But she went into his throat. She allowed herself to be swallowed up by the Sultan in the palace there. And by her being swallowed up in there, she caused an explosion that came from this. That v'chol amei horetz misyahadim ki nofal pachad Mordechai aleihem. There was a tremendous large bunch of conversions. People had actually converted as a result of that whole incident with Haman. And plus a new Kabbalah Satira. That's one example of where Rabbi Nosson Zal gives a display in Likutei Halacha is showing how this chapter in the Kudamran actually came to play in Jewish history. And without this information, how would you know how to how would Mordechai HaTzadik not have known how to deal with that situation unless he knew the secrets of Likutei Moran? This is the wisdom that existed throughout the generations, the wisdom of Tzadikim, how they knew how to cope with every kind of situation that the Yidden were put into. Baruch Hashem.